As we all know, oftentimes in life, events happen that are out of our control, right? And in the moment, we don't understand why they even had to happen. Only later on that we often realize that there was actually good at the end. You know, one of my favorite books of all time is called A Severe Mercy by Sheldon Vanocur. It's actually an autobiography that talks about Sheldon's relationship with his wife. Now, hate to break it to you, I'm going to spoil it for you. So, Sheldon and his wife, Davy, were diehard atheists that had no time for God or religion in general. Their religion, you could say, was their love for each other. In fact, the only prayer that Sheldon admitted to ever praying was for Davy's happiness. Now, over time, Davy actually becomes interested in Christianity and belief in God. Sheldon is angered at this because as Davy slowly begins to fall in love with God, her love for Sheldon becomes no longer her sole focus in life. Their love was supposed to be their God after all. How could Davy love God more than him? It was not fair to Sheldon. Soon, Davy converts to Christianity. She begins to see Sheldon's lack of faith in a whole new light and becomes concerned for him. And so she prays to God to save his soul. Not long after this, Davy finds out that she has cancer. And a year or so later, she passes away. Sheldon, angry that God has taken her away from him, but also intrigued at Davy's relationship with God, begins to investigate more into what had captured her heart. Soon, he too is intrigued by Christianity's claims. And eventually, he himself converts to Catholicism. After serious reflection, he realized Davy's death had been a severe mercy given to him by God. Because if it was not for her death, Sheldon, in his own stubbornness, would never have been willing to love anyone else more than her, not even God. Her death was actually the answer to her prayer for his soul, and the answer to his prayer for her happiness. For she was now with her Lord. What at first seemed to be a horrible tragedy to Sheldon turned out to have God's hand in it all along. Now, in the first reading this morning, we see poor Job toward the end of his misery. Now, just as a random side note, you know, we've come into the summer months. And remember, in the 1960s, when the current lectionary is being comprised, it was made by bishops and priests in Rome. And in Italy, for a reason only that God knows, they don't believe in air conditioning. So you'll notice, during the summer months, the readings suddenly become much shorter. Just keep that in mind. Now, the book of Job is all about human suffering and man's grappling with why evil has to happen. Job, a righteous and devout man, has had a lot of terrible things happen to him, including the death of all of his children. At first, he remains faithful and steadfast to God, not questioning why these things have happened. But when more things continue to go wrong, Job can't take it anymore and begins to question God's love for him. And it's at this point in the narrative where our reading today picks up. God, in a very fatherly but stern way, reminds Job that it was he who created the sea, the skies, light and darkness. In other words, God was in control. Horrible things have happened to Job, yes, but he was not to worry because God the Father was still in control. Things would work out. Job just needed to trust God. In our gospel this morning, we see how our Lord leads his apostles on a boat across the Sea of Galilee. When a gigantic storm arises, and it seems like the boat is going to sink, they find Christ asleep in the stern of the boat. You see, Christ was not afraid of the storm because he had the perfect trust in his heavenly Father. When Christ awakes with a divine authority, he tells the storm to be silent. Now, in the original Greek that St. Mark wrote in, the words translated in English as be quiet literally are be muzzled, like a master would do to his dog. I mean, after all, Christ is the master of the universe. The apostles naturally are in awe because at this point in Mark's gospel, they don't yet recognize that our Lord is God yet. Who then is this, they say, whom even wind and sea obey? Up to this point, they only actually saw him to be a teacher who had some sort of deep connection with God. Yet his divine authority over the sea makes them question who he actually is and where he might have gotten this sort of authority over creation. Ultimately, Christ is displaying in reality what God the Father spoke about to Job in the first reading, that God, as our heavenly Father, is in control of all things, and that they should trust him, because he always works good out of evil. Now, this message, of course, applies just as much to us as it did to the apostles and Job at the time, right? Nothing in this universe happens without God willing and allowing it. He's almighty. Therefore, nothing occurs by chance in the whole course of our lives. In other words, because God is all-powerful, if anything at all happens to us, whether good or evil, it is because God has allowed it. Though God is not the cause of sin or evil, right? We're the ones responsible for that. He allows them to happen because he is bigger than sin. He respects our free will. He's not in competition with it. And therefore, he always brings good out of it. Yet, when a tragedy or something difficult happens in our life or in our world, it can be very challenging, right, to see God's hand working in the moment. In other words, in tough times, it can be easy for us to lack trust in God, that he's present in it all, that he even exists. And this was the case for the apostles, right? In a near-death experience in the boat during the storm, they come searching for him, and they find him asleep. To them, it showed them that he was not in control of the situation. Yet we know that he was. He had complete trust in his heavenly Father. And the moment that he was awake, he silenced the storm. It turned out Christ was not truly sleeping through the storm after all. And the same applies to our lives. In the many ups and downs of our lives that we go through, Christ is not sleeping through them. Whether it be a long and painful sickness of a loved one, maybe the death of a child, or the damage caused by a family member's addictions and infidelities. To us, in the midst of these tragedies, it can seem like Christ is asleep in our boats while the storms rage all around us. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? This sentiment of the apostles, I think, is the same one we can often feel when we encounter a storm in our lives. I don't know about you, but when I encounter a storm of life, I can sometimes wonder if Christ is sleeping through it. It sure feels like it at times. But it is only after the storm is over, when our emotions have calmed down, that we can often see much more clearly how God was in control and that he brought good out of it. Though we wish it were differently, God's plan for our brief journey in life does not consist of perfect comfort and unbroken pleasure. I mean, even Christ's own mother suffered greatly in this life. Rather, Christ wants us to achieve wisdom, courage, joy, and spiritual maturity. And that means learning to trust in him more than in ourselves. Learning that we are not all powerful, but that God is, as Job had to learn. Learning that suffering is not actually a showstopper, but a means to growth. For as St. Gemma once said, suffering teaches us to love. We are supposed to be a people of faith. If our faith is weak, the moment a tragedy in our life or in the world happens, we're going to immediately turn on God and blame him. Or worse, walk away from him, which never solves the issue. Yet, a true faith, as well as a true love, always remains rooted in the midst of suffering. True faith sees suffering and hardship as an opportunity to grow in trust in God, and as a means to surrender ourselves more to God's will. As the Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, Sometimes the only way the good Lord can get into some hearts is to break them. Though much of why exactly God allows certain sufferings and evils in this life is a mystery, faith gives us the certainty that God would not permit an evil if he did not cause a good to come out from that very evil, by ways that often we shall only fully know in eternal life. Christ is in control of all things, and being a good God, he always brings good out of the evil that happens through our sins and fallen nature. In fact, suffering is an opportunity for us to encounter his love more. Job and the apostles had to learn to trust in God in the midst of their sufferings. So too must we. And so, whenever we are struggling with faith, a simple prayer from the Gospel of Mark will suffice. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We should always ask our Lord for faith and trust, even when it's difficult. And then, with the eyes of faith, we will be able to see God's presence even in the great tragedies of our lives. Sheldon Vanocken was able to grow to see the greatest tragedy of his life, the death of his wife, Davy, as a severe mercy to his soul. We too must have that same trust and faith as he did, to see God's hand in the most difficult moments of our lives, that he is actually not asleep in the storms of our lives. And so on this 12th Sunday of Ordinary Time, let us ask ourselves, do we trust that God's hand is actually in all aspects of our lives, or do we need to ask for help, trust in him more?